Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, it is week 5 of Golf Return. We're recapping the exciting but very early Sunday finish at the Workday Charity Open. We get into all that TV controversy and some podcast exclusive picks for this week's Memorial, the second tourney in a row at Muirfield Village. Michael, I am white hot right now. If anyone's interested in money at all, then you're going to want to listen to the rest of this episode. Plus, you get to hear my diaries from episode 1 of the Course of Life Playcation Travel Series, a little COVID on tour update, NBA bubble food and empty baseball stadiums. And this week's guest is Mae Brennan, a golfer, model, and a history-making holy moly champion on ABC recently. We get into all that and more. But first, got to tell you that we are proudly sponsored by Plain Swing, the world's number one golf swing trainer, used by golfers in over 80 countries and counting, including guys like Bryson, DJ, and more. The real deal. Plain Swing enhances communication between coach and student to facilitate rapid improvement, helps a golfer understand the biomechanics of the body in relation to the golf swing. Repetition is key, and no other training aid allows a golfer to feel the proper movement the way Plain Swing does. The unique weighted power slider that comes with each Plain Swing is your new golf fitness tool that strengthens your golf muscles and builds your core, that muscle memory, that crucial thing that you need to develop a repeatable motion on your ideal golf swing plane. Plain Swing has 3 different packages depending on your level of investment to the game, and even a Plain Swing package for the kids as well, so they can start off right. You can check out plainswing.com, again, plainswing.com, to learn more about their products, sign up for a free and exclusive instructional video, and join the Plain Swing revolution on your path to better shots and lower scores. Again, that is plainswing.com. Check them out today.
And welcome to Course of Life, presented by Desert Fox Golf, Groove It Golf, and Plain Swing. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, this is an exciting episode for us.
It is. Yes, we got to start right off the top with a real quick announcement, something very exciting that we've been teasing. Very excited for this moment as well, too. We're officially joining a new and very impressive golf podcast network, The Morning Read. You know them as morningread.com, from the legend Alex Maselli, who we all know from the old Golf Channel days. Yep. He started that newsletter up decades ago. It's turned into a wonderful site. And we're excited to be part of their podcast network now.
Very exciting. Lots of potential here. We're really excited.
A lot of content opportunities. Yeah. So look forward to it. Morningread.com. Follow them on social, and really love the team there. So excited to hop on board. Let's do it.
Let's get into the golf that just happened, because this is week 4, 5?
Now. Jeez. And to think, remember week 1 of the return, we were on our hot mic stream and we saw Colin Morikawa lose an absolute heartbreaker of a playoff to Daniel Berger. You'll remember that.
He missed putts.
A tight lip out from what, 3 feet? He exacted revenge. He almost had another one of those bad lip out moments. But the bottom line is an absolutely epic win for Colin Morikawa, who now in his PGA Tour career, Mike, his young career, Colin Morikawa has more PGA Tour wins than missed cuts. He's won twice and only missed one cut in his career. That is impressive.
Yeah, you know, I saw a graphic comparing him and Tiger Woods.
Yeah, easy there. Oh, now.
And just and the real call out there, because, you know, Tiger at this point in his career had more wins, had, you know, and everything, you know, that's bound to happen when you're Tiger Woods. The interesting thing was the scoring average, where Morikawa's scoring average was lower than Tiger's.
Yeah, and just this idea that he plays himself into the weekend on any type of venue, and having that versatility is one of those things that you really only said about guys like Tiger and the most dominant players, that, you know, even when they may not like a track or love a track by any means or feel great about their game, he's still consistently playing himself into the weekend. That consistency is like all you can ask for being a 23-year-old fresh out of college. He graduated less than a year ago, and he's already a multiple time winner on the PGA Tour. Yes. And this playoff with JT and Morikawa, appointment television.
We'll get into that in a moment.
Exactly.
Talking about television. But I think that, you know, this really showed just how big of a guy Morikawa is going to be. Would JT drain that, 50-foot birdie putt on the first playoff hole, and Morikawa then stood up to his 20-foot birdie putt and drained it as well? I mean, that's man, it's hard enough to drain a 20-foot birdie putt as it is, but to then do it after JT drained one of the longest putts you're probably going to see all year. And that's incredible.
If you're playing against JT in that moment, doesn't that just give you every excuse to just be like, oh, well, I mean, that's just an absolute bomb. You know, I'm going to miss this and finish second. I lost to an unbelievable golf shot. But Morikawa did the exact opposite, stepped up and drained his on the first playoff hole, won on the third. And he was my pick, one of my six picks. Mike, I throw a dozen out, a couple here on the podcast and the rest on my Twitter. I'm at Course of Life One on Twitter. You're at MWRINC talking about golf, sports and pop culture and everything going on in our life. But every week I tweet out six guys, and 5 weeks into the restart of the PGA Tour season, I pick three winners. So if you're looking to tail someone and you're looking for a few extra dollars right now, I think I'm your guy. I don't want to toot my own horn too loud, but I think I have to.
Yeah. We'll get into your picks for this upcoming Memorial Tournament in a little bit, but let's talk about how we couldn't find the playoff. Yes. Some of the best golf we've seen all year on TV at all until like 6 o'clock PM.
Just normal TV. And again, this has been an ongoing issue. You, me, all our cohorts in the golf media community, we've been talking about this for years about how it's like, listen, you and I, and most of the people listening to this podcast, we can very easily access a stream. We know how to access a stream, get to a website and whatnot when needed. What we're referring to is what the PGA Tour did, which was just a horrible thing that just really lost the attention of a lot of fans, is they didn't get this Sunday finish on just a normal cable TV network. You and I can find a stream easily, but the idea that this compelling finish was not on TV live at all on Sunday, it was tape delayed hours later, it speaks to that incompetence that drives me wild with the game of golf. How was this not on a spot where the most possible people could get eyeballs on golf? It was just a big opportunity missed.
It's, you know, I understand it with the British Open where they air it, you know, super early in the morning somewhere else, and then they air it during prime time for everyone to watch, you know, on Sunday afternoon. But it's like, this is, I don't understand. I kind of understand the deal, the media deal you work out. You want to be on primetime television, so that's why. But then why do you have the tournament end at 2 o'clock on a Sunday?
Yeah, I know. And it has to do with, you know, it was because it's a CBS tournament and there were Golf Channel rights on the early half of Sunday. And if it was an NBC tournament in the afternoon, they could have worked something out to have it on earlier live, maybe on Golf Channel. The bottom line is, you, me, the average golf fan, we don't care about the back ends of those TV rights deals. We just know that we want golf to be in the best possible position. We want exposure and to grow the game and just show as many people as possible, golfer or not, how great the product can be, and to not have it on a CBS or a Golf Channel or a CBS Sports Network or anything along those lines on Sunday is just, I don't know. It just bothered me. I call it the scavenger hunt, jokingly on Twitter. Every once in a while, when we have these weather issues on tour, it's like, oh boy, where are we going to find the golf? You know, it just, what other sport? You know, here's an analogy for you, Mike. Alabama and LSU were playing a great game on a ESPN football on a Saturday night, and in the third quarter, they paused the broadcast and tell everyone, all right, that's a wrap for this broadcast. If you want to watch the rest, you can go on to ESPN.com. I mean, that's literally what happened on Sunday. As much as I mean,
the only thing you could maybe compare it to, maybe, especially when you talk about weather, is when you have a baseball game, like it's rain delayed for 3 hours and they just put something else on for a while. Then maybe it's on ESPN and they move the conclusion over to ESPN3 or something. I don't know. Right. But it's, you know,
again, we're not crowing too much here. We know how to get on a stream. We're young kids. We get the technology. It's just the idea that I want my parents to be able to watch this. They can't get on a stream. They're only watching on TV. It's just normal people trying to find a golf tournament, trying to find some entertainment on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. They couldn't find that great finish.
And the pushback here is going to be, well, they can watch it on TV in a couple hours when it comes back on CBS on a tape delay. And it's like, yeah, that's great. But there's something, if you're watching it on Golf Channel and then you can't watch the end and now you need to wait, are you going to come back?
Yeah,
You're probably not.
Shout out to buddy Jeremy Schilling. He went through the logistics on Twitter about how this contract and this deal with the streaming setup in these scenarios is going to be in existence for at least the next year and a half. So great news, Mike. We have 18 more months to crow about this annoying TV.
Man,
isn't that great?
Fantastic. Yeah, that's so great. You know what else we're crowing about right now?
Oh yeah,
COVID on tour.
Oh God, the Rona, right? Yeah, it's just, so the tour has had some good weeks, but there was one really weird asterisk going on last week on tour. I mean, there were positive tests that were showing on a recurring basis for three players: Dylan Fratelli, Denny McCarthy, and Nick Watney. They had not shown any symptoms or anything like that, and they'd been acting under the guidelines of correctly quarantining themselves, but the PGA Tour decided to throw all three of these guys just all in one group together on Thursday and Friday. Thankfully, they all missed the cut because I feel like this might have turned into a little bit more of a firestorm than it needed to. Oh, but it was just a really, really strange asterisk on the whole COVID prevention on tour. I hope we see a little less of that. That's all.
Yeah, we would hope.
We'll quickly run out on that. But
let's talk a little couple other things. Let's talk about a giveaway.
Oh yes, that
we've
that's right.
Been doing. Yeah,
3D ball marker.
On point. 3D ball marker giveaway. We announced it during our Hot Mic live stream last weekend. We put it up on Instagram as well to pick a winner. Where you just had to tell us. What was the trivia question again?
Yeah, the total purse for the Players Championship. You can take a guess silently in your head as you listen. Your guess, Mike, you started around $8.5 million, and then you pushed that number up, right?
Yeah, and then I still thought I was actually too low. So, and I think originally I thought it was maybe too high, and now I'm thinking I was too low. We had a number of guesses.
You did.
Everyone guessed the same number.
They did. So I'm going to have a little tiebreaker between them because they all guessed $15 million. I'll tell you right now that the correct answer was $12.5 million. That was the total purse and the total dollar amount given away for the Players Championship in 2019. I'm going to get with those guys on Instagram. Thanks for listening and tuning in. Again, it's at COL Podcast if you want to follow us on Insta. But I'll do a tiebreaker for them. But check out the On Point 3D Golf Marker. It's really cool for putting around the greens. And I appreciate everyone who logged on and gave a guess. Nice effort.
Yes. Let's move on to the Euro Tour across the pond, our favorite tour because of everything they do to speed.
And another story that you love, too, because you love the fight on COVID on tour. This was the ultimate with Mark Warren. First tourney back, European Tour, Mike. Okay, so Mark Warren shows up, gets the tournament. His caddy was feeling some symptoms of what he thought might have been the coronavirus. So as a precaution, Mark Warren's caddy actually decided, you know what? I'm going to wait on the results, and I'm not going to be on the back for you this week. Very, very smart, sound decision. Yeah, would you not agree?
It is. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so Mark Warren's caddy sits on the sideline, and Mark says, you know what? I think I'm just going to carry my own back. Yeah, I'm a European Tour pro, first turning back. It's all good. I don't need to bring anyone else into the fold. I'll do it on my own. And lo and behold, like Mark Warren lifting the trophy days later, he won the tournament all by himself with no caddy. So shout out to Mark Warren and the Euro Tour, not only for the Euro Tour, but Mark Warren persevering, going caddy free and getting it done and winning the tournament. That's how you do it. I mean, love that.
Did he tell himself to keep up and shut up?
Yes, he had to. He actually said that he was really starting to feel the stress of the caddy's job when it got down the stretch on Sunday. You don't really realize when you have someone yelling out those yardages for you and giving you all that information freehand, you take it for granted. And we didn't have all those numbers right off the bat. He had to do a lot of extra work, but he did enough to get the job done.
And there's no one there to say, hey, get out of your own head. That's not what you should hit. You should hit this. So
true. You know, yeah. I don't know. Are caddies going to be a thing of the past? Is this a precedent setting win here? Who knows?
No,
we're not going anywhere. Shout out to our Loopers.
Let's talk about Tiger Woods because he's coming back.
Finally. What? Jeez.
We haven't seen him since the match two.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. It's like last time we saw him was a Stripe show in pouring rain. We saw him hitting chip shots in a monsoon on a Sunday afternoon a couple months ago.
He played really well though.
He did. I mean, if his drives look anything like they looked that week, he's going to carve this course up. He's sitting around 25 or 30 to one. I don't know. First tournament back. The odds tell me that the expectations for him are moderate and that he's got some familiarity. He's obviously won this tournament several times, but first event back, I don't know if we're going to see like the full 100% Tiger going at it every swing. We'll see.
Yeah, it's a question of how much he's going to let himself go out there for. But I mean, if there's a course outside of Augusta or, you know, Torrey Pines, the course for him to come back at is Muirfield Village, where he has what, like 8 wins, something like that?
There's an insane number. I think it's 7 or 8 different tournaments, Mike, that he has won at least 5 times. Yeah. And I know this is one of them. So he's had amazing weeks at Memorial in the past. Obviously, this is Jack Nicklaus's spot in his tournament. You know Tiger loves winning one and seeing Jack Nicklaus off the 18th green. So he'd love nothing more to get another one done. But just obviously great to have the big cat back in the field at Memorial. Yeah.
And the featured groupings that were announced today, we're recording this on a Monday evening. Tiger gets to play with Rory and Brooks Koepka.
Yes.
I mean, these featured pair groups are just fantastic.
That would PGA Tour live, man. Wow. Yeah. That's going to be lit.
So, Tiger, Rory, and Brooks in one. You got Phil, Justin Rose, and Lowry in another.
Yeah.
You got a good group there. And then you have the last three winners at Muirfield with Bryson, Morikawa, and Cantley. That'll be a fun group to watch.
Is it, man, I don't know if I'll be hitting the Morikawa back-to-back button. That seems a little aggressive.
That's a bit much. Yeah. I mean, if he can do it, then oh my God. We got a whole nother thing to talk about next week.
Are we really doing the Tiger talk? We might really be doing the Tiger talk.
I think if he wins twice at the same course after winning the first time in a playoff, then yes, I think we may need to start talking about it. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. The last feature group, another really good one, JT, DJ, and Xander Schauffele.
JT's got to be just heated after that finish on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who has a better chance here of actually winning, do you think? Morikawa or JT?
That's interesting. You know, you'd think there's two different schools of thought. Is like, is it more of a hangover winning the previous week or coming close and finishing second? I feel like coming close and finishing second, it kind of reinvigorates you to get back out there harder the next week. So I'd say I'd give JT slight edge over Morikawa in between the two guys who saw in the playoff last week.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Yeah. I'm good with that.
That's good feature groups overall, like you mentioned. And then the elephant in the room, Bryson. So this is going to be interesting now because we saw him dominate at Rocket Mortgage, which is a bit more of an open track. Memorial's pretty tree lined in some spots. I'm curious to see. I was thinking about Memorial in my picks. I already told you I have to pick Bryson every single week he plays until he doesn't win a tournament. So if so, fact, I do need to pick him at 11-1 this week. But I'm curious. The trees are tall here at Muirfield Village. How tall is too tall for Bryson to go over? That's the question we're going to answer.
He can hit it 400 yards. So it doesn't matter.
We're going to find out just how tall a tree needs to be to impede his drive potentially. It'll be a good test, but I'll be watching him as well. One other guy I have to pick. Again, my picture at Course of Life 1 on Twitter. I pick 6 a week. I've had 3 winners in 5 weeks. I like Bryson and Victor Hovland, Mike. We've talked about him for a while. Mm-hmm. He's played all 5 weeks since the restart. He's made all 5 cuts, and he hasn't finished outside of like the top 20 or 25 any week. Yep. So he's on the right path.
I'll tell you, these young guys on tour, Victor Hovland, Morikawa,
and Matt Wolf, this one at the Rocket.
These are some fun guys to be watching. This is a fun time to be watching golf right now because they're all hot.
It's a great group indeed. So there's a couple of my picks for this week's Memorial. My one other sleeper, which I know you love, you always love a good Kevin Na shout out, the guy that we love to hate, and now we're slowly coming around on.
I don't hate him anymore. I love it. He gave a car to his caddy. How can you hate him?
The only reason I like Kevin Na here is because these greens are going to be extremely fast, and to see him walk in a few putts the way he does on the extremely fast greens, that could get interesting. So watch out for Kevin Na at 140-1 odds to win.
Can we get a Kevin Na Tiger Woods grouping on Saturday so Tiger can do some walk-ins?
They had some fun with that at the recent pairing that they had in the past year here. So good stuff. Again, watch out for our picks. Enjoy the coverage at Memorial, and we'll be back to recap it all next week.
Let's move over to some socially distant content.
Yes, our life and the other things going on in the world, right?
I discovered something this Saturday which has restored my faith in humanity.
Whoa. Strong statement.
Do you remember being homesick during when you were a kid?
Okay.
You'd turn on the TV, you'd be watching stuff. Maybe you'd watch Price is Right.
Okay.
And then every once in a while you'd turn on and you'd watch Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, yes. That is a good, that's like a chill inducing name that you say.
I know.
Sends the willies down my spine. I haven't heard that just terminology in years or decades now.
It's on Netflix and it is just as amazing as I remember.
Oh man. intro when the teams run out and they do the slow jog out to the clapping audience. Yep. Doesn't get more electric than that, does it?
That and watching these two people try to find $5,000 by trying to get the clue to which product they need to go find and finding it at the last possible second to win $5,000. $5,000 back in like 1990, which is a lot of money.
We're a long way. We're dating ourselves when we say that.
I don't care. This is my wife is so confused as to why I like this show.
Oh, it's just fascinating. It's a fascinating look into consumerism, game show life, and 90s culture all at the same time.
I told her, I was like, of all the reality TV shows or competition shows, this is the one I think I should like, because it's, I remember different products and things. I'm analytical like that. It's like, this makes a lot of sense to me. She's like, nope, I don't see it.
So, all right, I'm trying to think of my top items. The move was always to go get the gigantic hunks of meat, but they took up a lot of room in the cart. So then you had to be smart about the rest of the things.
But
you
get multiple carts, but you got to fill out, you got to get your diapers, your double packs of diapers, your foil wrapped hams, your turkeys were big. And then you got to make sure you bring those big bonuses back as well.
Oh, so yes.
You got to run those all the way back so you could get the bonus.
I appreciate that. I'm going to watch some episodes. Thank you for reminding me about this. That's a great gift to us and all the 90s kid that is back on Netflix. One thing I want to touch on is just some music from an artist that I've been following for a while. Unfortunately, I'm talking about a posthumous album from an artist, Juice WRLD. And this is a guy that really passed away way too young, but some new music that came out for everyone is looking for something to latch onto. This was a really cool album, very retrospective look at putting together music that he'd already kind of pieced together as well. It has guest stars like Marshmello and Halsey on there. And the music spans a lot of genres. He comes across as a rap or a hip hop artist, but he really spans across a lot of different genres. Very cool, introspective look. And it's really hot music out right now. So if anyone's looking for a new album, check out the Juice WRLD album and rest in peace to him as well too. So that's just a look at the random things that we get into during our quarantine outside of the golf and the sports and everything else in between.
Yeah. You know, we're more than just golf and words.
Yeah. We sit around and listen to music and watch TV. You know, there's a lot more to us.
You know, we do a lot of stuff. We're interesting people. Speaking of interesting people.
Yes.
Let's get into this week's guest. We've had a couple different holy moly contestants on this podcast before. We had Tanner Beard a while ago. Yep. We had
Colin McCarthy as well. Morgan Reimler, who's a professional golfer. Yeah.
We're just everyone who is on Holy Moly. Just come on over. We'll talk to you.
Central Casting from Holy Moly does a great job. They just bring people in from all walks of life that love the game of golf. And May is another example of that. And she made two pieces of history that we get to in this interview on the show. Mm. Things that I had never seen on the show. Very, very intriguing chat.
We will have that chat, your chat with May Brennan in just a second. But first, we want to let you know that this conversation was brought to you by our friends at Groove It Golf, makers of the sold out Groove It Golf Brush. It's sold out right now. It's been such high demand because it's the tool you just can't be without right now. It's not your average brush because it's got water or cleaning solution that you put in it, like goes right on a club head prior to scrubbing on it. It's got detachable magnets. You can put it on your bag and then take it off really easily. So you're not, you know, having it hit your hand while you're walking because it, you know, it's just nicer. And it's got a 3-year bristle guarantee. So if you wear out the brush head cleaning your clubs in 3 years, send it back. Groove It will send you a new one for free. That's just amazing reliability from them. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control the clean grooves will give you. Using your existing golf clubs with the Groove It, you'll get the spin trajectory and consistency you're looking for. So head on over to grooveitbrush.com, get on the mail on the waiting list so you can get yours as soon as they're back in stock. Again, that's grooveitbrush.com.
Next up on the tee, we have a golfer, model, and now a TV star as well from Salt Lake City, Utah, a recent champion of Holy Moly, which is one of our favorite shows on the podcast. She also has an interesting background as well that we'll get into. It's May Brennan joining The Course of Life. May, how's everything going?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So I want to get into your background because it's a very interesting one. You actually were born and grew up in Japan before you moved to the United States as a kid. So what were your memories of growing up in Japan as a kid?
Yeah, I moved to the United States when I was 8 years old. My family is, I grew up being in a military family. Okay. So we moved around a lot. And I try to visit Japan once a year. So I go back home, I guess, a lot.
Very cool. Nice. In terms of golf in Japan, do you have any golf memories from the time that you were there? I know it was only till you were 8 years old, but do you remember ever playing the game there, or did you take it up only when you moved to the States?
Yeah, so I took a few lessons in Japan. Golf is a very is very different in Japan. Like in America, you can go out and go play 9-18 holes, the spur of the moment, just make a tee time. In Japan, it's kind of an event where you get up at 6 a.m., you go out, I had a car come pick me up.
Wow.
From this, yeah, the station, they drive you to the golf course, they give you breakfast, you go out and play 9 holes, you come back and you have lunch. Like, it's this whole event that lasts all day. But yeah, so it's just different.
I kind of admire that, actually. They really just really set the entire day aside. And, you know, sometimes I feel like even on days when I know I want to get out there and relax my round, I still feel rushed to finish. And I kind of admire that they really just take the whole day over there. That's an interesting cultural difference.
Yeah, it's very, it's just different.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess moving to the United States, did you first move to Utah or where else have you kind of lived in the States before you got to Utah?
I lived around in the Seattle area, then Portland, a little bit of Northern California, and then I somehow ended up in Utah.
Okay, very cool. So when you were a kid and you first got to the States, what were like the biggest changes to your life and like the different cultural, stigmas that you may have seen in Asia that you didn't see in the United States anymore? What were kind of the biggest differences that you saw?
So in Japan, I lived on a military base my whole life. And I even went to a military, a school that was just English. But moving to America, I think it was my first time living off base. And I always thought America was like this scary place. So I was just more cautious. I'm like just walking around in public. It just kind of scared me. America is just so big. And just that idea was kind of scary as a kid.
Yeah, definitely. Just appreciating the little things, being off base. That's definitely an interesting bar for what it was like growing up for you. So I'm curious about the part of the country where you're in now. Talk a little bit about life in Utah specifically. That's a part of the country that's unvisited for a lot of people. I grew up in the Northeast and I live in Texas now. But what's life like for you in Utah? You got the opportunity to play college golf there as well. But how have you enjoyed the time there specifically?
Yeah, I think honestly it was a big cultural shock moving to Utah more than me coming to Japan to America. Just because, it is very religious in that aspect and I just wasn't used to it. But at the same time, like a lot of people, think like Utah is weird because of that reason, but a lot of people realize that, like golf is a big thing here in this Utah. And there's just a lot of outdoor things to do as well.
Definitely. I think it's what state of sport or the sport state is one of the nicknames it has. Correct. Something like that.
Is it?
But yeah. I've definitely always heard that about Utah, but, the photos on your Instagram, again, it's, MEIOO00 on Instagram. And you've got some really cool photos of your playing days. Talk a little bit about playing at Dixie State in college and what was it like, traveling and going to different tournaments as a college athlete?
Yeah, I got recruited to go play for Dixie, and the reason why I chose to go play for that school is that High School Musical 2 was filmed at one of the golf courses that we were able to practice at.
Love it.
That's probably one of my favorite movies, but that's the reason why I went, and it's very warm also, but playing collegiately, it was intense. I actually only played for 3 years. I did not play all 4 years, but I'm not a very competitive person, I realized. And just that competing, a lot of people took it so seriously and I didn't. And then I think that golf is a very individual sport,
Yeah.
And so even if you were on a team with somebody, like in their mind, it was still an individual sport. And I don't think I kind of had a problem with that. Like I like that team aspect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. No, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the honesty too. What was your game like in college? I guess, do you kind of pride yourself on being, more accurate off the tee and efficient with your irons, or do you kind of get it done around with the short game, chipping and putting like I do? I'm a mess off the tee, but I get it done when it gets close to the green. So where do you kind of pride your golf game specifically?
I think my short game, my chipping and my putting is what saves me on the course. I'm not a very good iron player. But like, even if I miss the green, I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, I just chip it and one putt it kind of thing. And yeah. I'm pretty confident in that.
That's my motto too. I make a lot of really ugly pars. That's basically my golf game in a nutshell. So I feel you on that one.
I work for my pars.
Nice. I love the way that you are just always golfing. One of the things I always say is always be golfing. I love just hitting golf shots like whenever and wherever I can. And you feature that a ton on your Instagram. So I really appreciate that. Let's talk first about hitting in snow. I saw you do a post where you crushed a driver in snow with your dog right next to you, who looked a little alarmed when you took the club back. But where was that picture taken specifically, or that video?
That was right outside my house, actually. I live on a golf course. But, you know, in northern Utah, you're kind of cooped up because it's snowy all winter long. And it was sunny out, and I thought, why not?
Love it. Awesome. And then the other thing I saw is you were hitting in a lot of desert scenes too. Talk about just banging drives or hitting golf balls like out in the desert as well too. I love the backdrop of you hitting into the mountains. Where did you, are those located near where you are in Utah, or are those pictures and videos taken somewhere else?
That was by my college, which is about 4.5 hours away from Salt Lake City. But I keep like a little grass mat in the back of my car, so whenever I like there's like a cool backdrop, I'm already ready.
Love it. Nice. You're inspired and you're ready to go at a moment's notice. I think my next suggestion for you is you need to hit a drive like straight down like a rural highway, so it just goes like for 1,000 yards or something like that and bounces all the way down the concrete. That might be a good look for you, I think.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. Or even like an airplane. What is it? The lane?
Oh, yeah. Right in the tarmac on the runway there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's on the bucket list.
That's the joke they make for a golf course with really wide fairways, that they look like airport runways. So you can find one of those for sure. Again, it's MEI0000 on Instagram. And I want to get to Holy Moly now, because this is where I originally found you. We've had a few different guests on who have been on the show. We had Tanner Beard on a couple weeks ago as well. And I loved seeing your story because it was a historical one indeed. But I want to start at the beginning. Holy Moly, how did you get approached to be on the show? And what were your first thoughts when ABC talked to you about potentially being on it?
Yeah, Holy Moly, that was so the craziest experience, honestly. They reached out to me through my Instagram, just asked if I was interested. I had never heard of it before. I Googled it. I looked at some YouTube videos, some little clips. Yeah. Thought it was a little insane, out of my comfort zone. But I just said, why not?
Love it. Yeah, no, definitely insane's a word. It's kind of like delirious. It's all over the place. It's very unpredictable. So that's why we get entertainment out of it as golfers, for sure. And there's not a ton of golf going on right now. So I appreciate the entertainment it provides. And your episode was a very notable one. Like I said, you made history in the first round. Let's get to that. You had back-to-back made putts in your first round matchup, but a really, really noisy backdrop. Talk a little bit about what it was like putting with the band right in your ear.
Yeah, so they actually make you turn around when they're setting everything up for the distractor to go behind that wall. Mm-hmm. So me and my partner Nico, like, we had no idea what was going on. They flipped that wall. I see this crazy marching band. There was a cymbal that was right in my ear. My ear was actually ringing afterwards. But you know, I kind of just focused. You actually get to practice the putt 10 hours before.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So you get to the course, you get to this set at like around 3 p.m. They make you do hair, makeup, interviews and all that. And you kind of sit around in a tent for about literally like 10 hours. So you kind of forget what the putt was like then. But you kind of still get the feel, I guess. And I kind of knew where to aim or how it was bending, I guess.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was cool to see you step under pressure there. And I'm curious, on the golf course, do you ever have like friends or anyone who you play with that would ever like yell in the backswing of your putt like that? Because you seem really poised. I know that symbol would have gotten the better of me, and there's no way I would have made two of those in a row, let alone one. I was curious if you've ever had someone yell in your back swing like that before.
My younger brother, like we're very competitive towards each other. So yeah, we try to mess each other up all the time. So I'm nice. Kind of used to it.
You train for it. Good. Yeah. Good stuff. And then you got through the second round, and then the final is when it happened. Maybe one of the craziest moments in terms of a single golf shot on the show, I would say, in the two seasons that I've seen so far. Just talk us through the hole in one to secure the win, and kind of what was your perspective as you hit and were watching the putt?
Yeah, so like I said before, you can practice before,
yeah.
You know, but for that hole, I didn't get to practice. That was like my very first putt. Just because whoever won that second round, you know, we didn't know who was going to win. So they didn't know who was going to play that hole that night. So that's why I couldn't get to practice it. But when you hit it, that was probably the hardest putt that I've ever hit. It was almost like a chip. Like, you got to hit it hard.
Yeah.
But you can't see the hole from where you're at. So after I hit it, I just hear a bunch of screaming, and I didn't realize that I actually got it in the hole.
That's awesome. Yeah. There was a moment where I think the camera panned you as the ball was like approaching the cup, and you like didn't have much of a reaction. And I think that kind of explains why. So that makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah. I couldn't see it. Like, they had to tell me like that it was a hole in one kind of thing.
Very cool. And you got the win, and a very historical one. Like I said, two of the more notable moments I'd seen on the history of the show. Very awesome win. So again, it's me, Brennan. And there's lots of other things that you cover on your Instagram as well, in addition to that appearance. I'd love to ask you about your partnership with Michelob Ultra, because you've done some really cool videos with them. You did the John Daly, where you put a ball on top of the bottle and hit a drive. You've done the bouncing the ball with the wedge off of the beer bottle. Like, what's next? Do you have anything else planned for these promos? Because they're pretty impressive so far.
Yeah, I do have a few more coming up soon. With that, you know, they just wanted a golfer, and then they just picked me. But I don't know. I've never done trick shots, really. So it's kind of that too. Like, it's kind of just out of my comfort zone.
I will say,
it's fun to be creative.
I'm not great at the trick shots, but since I've had this podcast, I've interviewed a few trick shot artists. And one suggestion I will have for you is, if you can do something with like multiple steps or two or three steps and you can do it quickly, it definitely sells. So maybe like a chip shot that goes into a beer bottle that pours the beer into a glass or something like that. You know, I don't know. Just see it. You'll have to get creative. Maybe listen to some of my older interviews, but they had a lot more knowledge than I did in the trick shots.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea, though.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see that in the future for you. The one other golf thing I wanted to ask about regarding your set of clubs is, I believe you have a name for your driver. Is it Philip? Is that correct?
Yeah, it is.
Let's talk about Philip. How did we get that name originally?
So my putter, her name is Stephanie.
Oh, okay.
And it just came with the name. So I was like, I got to name my driver. And I don't know I don't really have a story on how I came up with the name.
Interesting. I was wondering if it was like a half tribute to Phil Mickelson or something like that. I wasn't sure. Just wanted to ask.
Yeah, no.
Very cool. And then one other thing you mentioned in your Holy Moly bio is you do love like the most basic things. You're a big time Starbucks girl. So I got to ask, what's your order when you go to Starbucks?
I'm a caramel macchiato.
Nice. My favorite, and it's only when it's in season, is the peppermint mocha. I absolutely love that flavor in like any drink. Man, Christmas time is going to be so great. I'm excited for it already.
Why don't they do it all year round? You know?
I know they should. I petitioned Dunkin' Donuts to do the same thing, but they wouldn't tweet back at me. So what are you going to do? Yeah. And last question I have regarding your golf game. I'm curious, what's the highlight of your golf game? Do you have like a lowest round or like any hole in ones in the books recently, or really notable shots on the course that you want to share with our audience?
My lowest score was a 68, which was up there, but I really think that hole in one on Holy Moly tops it. Like, that's probably one of my highlights.
I think it is. You're going to have to do a lot to top that on your highlight reel. That's going to be first and last for you for sure. And the last question we love to ask our guests, me, Brennan, again, joining, is our 19th hole question. So once you finish a round, let's say you just birdied to shoot 67 and shoot your all time best round and you're heading into the clubhouse, what's like your go-to order if you want to get like a meal and a drink after you're done playing golf?
Let's see. I think it's just a very simple chicken strips and a Mountain Dew.
Chicken tenders, can't go wrong. What's the dipping sauce of choice? Ranch, honey mustard, barbecue?
Definitely ranch. And then here in Utah, they have this thing called fry sauce.
Yes.
So that's a thing, yeah.
Good call out. I love it. Awesome. Again, it's MEI0000 on Instagram. Me, Brennan. Congrats on the Holy Moly win. Look forward to more golf content from you, and hit them straight out there.
Thank you so much.
That interview with Mae Brennan is thanks to our friends at Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. It's a one-of-a-kind phone holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with any model of phone, and it Velcros onto the cart in seconds. Keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. Not only is a Phone Caddy a great gift for any golfer, it can be a great gift to give at golf events or buddy golf trips of all kinds. And you can save an extra 20% off your purchase with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. They have a plethora of different colors and options to make it your own. Again, go on over to desertfoxgolf.com, use promo code COURSEOFLIFE, and save 20% off your Phone Caddy. Have your phone safe and secure on your golf cart. Again, that's desertfoxgolf.com. Great chat there with Mae Brennan. A mini golf hole in one. I've had a couple I know of.
I mean, I've had several. It's just the thing, like with Mae's, it was a history making moment and you couldn't even see it. Cause like, you know, the greatest hole in ones always happen when it's like the multiple compartment deal, you know, you hit it in the right portal and then it like throws your ball down off two walls and goes careening in. Those are the best to me. Those are the most electric.
No, I agree.
Mae rode the roller coaster with her history making performance from her. Again, follow her on Instagram, love her content as well. Great to have her on.
Let's move over to something you were doing last week. You were doing our brand new Playcation series.
That's right. You got to play when you're on vacation, right?
I mean, I don't know why.
Two things we love, golf and vacation. Yeah. I started off last week.
Let's talk about it. What was it like? Where'd you go?
Yeah, so shout out to the High Regency Hill Country Resort, San Antonio, Texas. And I just wanted to put together a little diary of my trip for you guys. So if anyone's looking to get out and make a trip, take some advice from myself as an everyday golfer, I kind of highlight the neat parts of the resort and just some quick tips from someone who's there on the ground for what golf travel can be like. Looking forward to get out to a lot more properties like this. But here's a quick look back, a couple of video diaries from my trip to the High Regency Hill Country Resort in San Antonio. All right, welcome in. It is part one of the Playcation series from Course of Life. It's Alex here joining you live from a room at the High Regency Hill Country San Antonio Resort and Spa. What a great spot this is. Just kind of a quick day one recap, kind of get you into everything that's at the resort and what I got to see in my nine holes. The place, first off, is taking like an unprecedented amount of precautions. Obviously, with everything going on right now, you know, golfers, everyone from every walk of life who's looking to take a trip has a little bit of hesitancy about what goes into that and how safe it is and do we want to fly or drive and what's the resort like and how many people are going to be there and are going to be in big crowds and what's the mass situation. I get it. First and foremost, they answer that right at the front door. The High Regency taking every precaution necessary kind of during these unprecedented times to keep everyone really safe. And that's clearly the number one policy ringing through. There are signs everywhere. There's hand sanitizer everywhere. Masks are required. No questions asked indoors. So they're definitely taking the steps to make you feel safe, which is important right off the bat. Because when you walk into a resort and you start a vacation, you don't want to have that stress level that you carry with you the rest of your life carry over into your vacay time. So I completely understand that. It was good to see right off the bat. So I got to take a walk around the property. It was really cool to just see how kind of compact everything is. But also at the same time, you get a feeling the amenities are spread out. There's a wonderful pool, an adult only pool, a lazy river for the kids and family. You can float down. Unbelievable like wave rider machine that they have for kids as well, too. And a water slide and all sorts of family friendly activities. That's right off the bat. So this is good for any age, any type of vacay, kids, no kids, whatever. From the golf perspective, it is 27 holes. In part two, I'll get into kind of more of the golf course minutia specifically, but just know that there's three different nines. I got to play nine on day one and saw an absolutely amazing sunset. I'm talking like, I'm going to go about 9.6 out of 10 on the Richter scale for sunset impressiveness. So be sure to check out my Instagram on my IGTV. I did a live broadcast. No matter when you're listening to this podcast, I'm at Course of Life Alex on Instagram. Go to my IGTV, check out the live I did. One of the great parts that I'm already seeing about this resort is they're doing a really good job at kind of making sure that it feels like it's at a low capacity and you're not crowded at any moment. Rooms are spread out, guests are spread out, but the golf's nice too, from what I can tell. You're able to get right around the course. You know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of issues that golfers take with trips like this is they're not able to play like at the speed they want. They're 5 hour rounds. They're slow. They can't finish by sunset. They have to play early or, you know, they get in the middle of the heat because of tee time availability. That's not the case here. They do a really good job of spreading out the golfers. There's many options for people playing. There's family friendly tees for people who are just giving the game a whirl for the first time. There's even Frisbee golf over by the practice facility, and a wonderful practice facility it is. You got a freaking bull out there about 200 yards. I got to hit that thing in the morning, hopefully, and show you guys what that looks like. But overall, just for the quick 5 minute recap, you know, day one, a really good to see the precautions that are being taken at the resort. You feel very safe. You feel at home. You immediately do feel comfortable. It's a little odd. Obviously, there's lots of things that are odd about the world right now. You know, wearing the mask inside and whatnot and abiding by a certain set of rules. It's just the way that we got to live right now. But you can get to places like this, places that are doing it right, doing it safely, and thinking about important ways to kind of keep guests apart and allow them to still enjoy their time and the amenities as well. You know, certain things are closed here at the resort, but they'll be back sooner rather than later. I have good faith in that. So that's just kind of a part one tease of what I saw. I'll come back again after day two of my stay and recap more of the golf side and the three nines and kind of get into everything regarding the topography and the layout of the courses. I got a hint of it in day one. Looking forward to seeing the rest of the grounds as well, too. But that's day one from the Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort and Spa. Again, it's the Course of Life Playcation series. And hope you roll along with us. And if there's a resort out there that wants me to join along as well, too, excited to be a part of the journey and show kind of different golf destinations to our audience and show you how it can be done. Different levels of travel, obviously, for everyone. But that's part one. Cheers. All right, day two recap of the Course of Life Playcation series here from the Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort and Spa in San Antonio. Really great spot, and I'm glad that we started the series here. Not only was it pretty easy for me to get to, just a quick little 90-minute drive from Austin, but was able to get a total of, I think, 36 holes in about 20 hours. Nice little one-day trip, and it's really a convenient place where you can get a lot of golf in. So golfers in Texas, Central Texas, and abroad should know that for sure. But day two, you heard about day one. I got to sneak in the sunset nine, ended up being 18, and some really great views out there. Played the Oaks. Day two, played the Lakes and the Creeks nines. Again, there's three nines, 27 holes total. Started with a nice early wake up. Love the resort. No parking lot facing suites here at the Hyatt Regency Hill Country. A lot of great views, a nice courtyard view, and did a little wildlife feeding. I've never seen squirrels, ducks, and birds all interact so nicely together. But when they all commiserate around food, don't we all act more nicely to each other when we get around great food? So they seem to enjoy the snacks they got in the morning. Then I walked over to the golf course, just a short little jaunt over the first tee there. great practice facility where I got to work on my game a little bit more. Had a great conversation with Eric Claxton, the director of golf, which we aired on Course of Life as well too. So definitely check that out if you haven't already. From there, like I said, got to the Lakes Nine first. And yes, predictably, like I mentioned in my conversation with Eric, definitely more water than the Oaks course. not too much, not like an intimidating Florida golf course amount, but just enough to kind of make you think about certain approach shots and a couple kind of blind hazards too. So you gotta watch the topography of the course for sure. Wasn't able to get enough putts rolling in. A lot of one putts for me was kind of the story of my trip, but I was scrambling. I was having fun around the greens and hit some good tee shots, just kind of everything in between. It was a bit of a mixed bag for me, but the Lakes Nine, really cool. Cascades, got some really cute par threes, cascades through the hill country. Very nice overlooks where you can see several different holes as well too. There's a really, really cool old-fashioned windmill that you can see from the ninth green, which is a really neat look as well. Just a really true taste of Texas when you get out there. You kind of get the water aspect and very green grass even for the summer in July. So there was a lot to like about the lakes. And then I got out to the creeks, which was really cool. You get to see some really neat homes that are pictured alongside the resort. Some elevated tees from my memory. Definitely some opportunities to take the big stick out. Like I mentioned too in my Instagram stories, again, at Instagram, it's Course of Life Alex, and the hashtag was COL Playcation if you want to check out anything I documented. A lot of risk reward par fours as well too. One of my favorite aspects of golf and one of the things I love the most on the course is when you have a good short par four. I'm not the longest hitter in the world, but it just presents lots of options. You know, even I can go with an iron and a wedge. You know, I can get driver close to the green, but not on it. There's hazards always in play. It's good for matches if you're doing a buddy's trip or you're going out there with your significant other, something like that. There's lots of different angles presented on each of those short par fours. So I definitely appreciated that aspect of both the lakes and the creeks course as well too. Creeks number six, one of the more notable holes. The ninth and the finish, just a downhill elevated tee par five, just bust out the big stick. Again, in one of those courses where you just leave with a lot of good memories. No matter kind of how you play, just a lot of good pictures in your mind about some great tee shots, some great locations and views. And again, can't rave enough about the course. Greens were in solid condition. The sponginess in the fairways, really crisp lies. Didn't find a ton of divots. So appreciated those little things. But that was just kind of a taste of day two. Again, got in my car and head back to Austin, but it was a great 24-hour trip. Again, want to thank the crew from Hyatt there. They had extreme levels of hospitality and really, really an abundance of caution during everything that's going on right now. Extremely safe there, really felt comfortable, requiring masks indoors and taking all the necessary precautions, hand sanitizer, hand washing stations available where you need them to. Just a lot of little extra things in place to make you feel comfortable, and that's what you want on vacation. So that's a quick day two recap. Again, it's Alex from the Course of Life podcast. Stay tuned for more Playcation series content. Looking to get out to more resorts, possibly more Hyatt properties as well too. So I hope you enjoyed these chronicles, this diary, and looking forward to seeing what everyone else does with their golf travels in the near future. Cheers.
You know, Alex, I feel like if you're comfortable traveling right now and you're going to a place that's going to do it right, now's the time to go so you can be out there on the course alone at sunset like you were, taking your time. I mean, because golf is the way to be socially distant right now.
Yes, seriously. It was so nice being out there by myself. I did an IG live. If you want to check out my IGTV at Course of Life Alex on Instagram, I did a live broadcast of the sunset on the night I was there. So you can see me play the final few holes before dusk. And having a course yourself and playing 18 holes in 3 hours, is there anything more blissful for the golfers out there? That's like one of the best things you could do on a golf course. So I had a fantastic time out there. Shout out to everyone at Hyatt and looking forward to seeing more properties and showing the everyday golfer what it can be like to be on Playcation. So cheers to that.
Let's move over to a couple other sports because there's other ones trying to come back right now.
Yeah,
college football. Let's talk college football because they want to come back. But the Ivy League already came out and said no fall sports. The Big Ten is doing in conference only. There's another one. I'm forgetting which one I saw today. The Patriot League, not a big league, but still Patriot League came out and said they're not doing anything in the fall. You know, as the small leagues are going to start falling, it's a question of when are these big ones like the Big 10, Big 12, Big East, SEC, when are they going to get it in their heads that I'm sorry, you can't put college athletes who aren't getting paid in this kind of danger. It's
not getting paid too. That's another emphasis and another story for another day too. You
know, yeah. And that to me is a big thing here. The professional athletes are getting paid. They know exactly what they're going in for. They're getting compensated for it. These kids that are not getting paid, and I'm getting a free education, is not getting paid in this instance. Yes. There's too much risk for them.
Unfortunately, if you're going to have the campus closed for school, then it's a little bit of a contradiction to have the athletes there. So you're right about the Ivy League being an interesting warning sign, because you remember back to those fateful moments in March when the whole world was getting canceled. The yep. first shoe to drop in March Madness was the Ivy League canceling their conference tournament. And that's yep. when the alarm started going off, because when the smart yep. kids start canceling things, the rest of the country listens. Listen, it's a cute little idea that like the Big Ten, some of these conferences, you know, will say, oh, we're just going to play in conference. No. Unfortunately, that still nope. presents a lot of the same traveling logistics and the amount of, you know, safety precautions that need to be in place regardless of where you're traveling. I don't care if it's, you know, playing Nebraska or playing Oklahoma. It's the same, really. It's the same thing is going on. So while I want college football to happen just as badly as everyone else out there, need some positive news and some change to happen the next few weeks if it's going to start on time.
I don't think it will. I don't think we'll see any college sports this fall. I hate to say it. I want to see college hockey. I want to see Quinnipiac playing in hockey. I don't think any of it's going to happen. I'm surprised. You know, I think golf is going to keep going. I think they have
to latch on to golf, Mike.
They have a system right now because baseball. Oh. It's coming to baseball too. Yankees closer Roldis Chapman. Hey, he's got it. He's out. It's how quickly is it going to start moving through dugouts in baseball?
They're letting all their players just live at home and live their lives. Unfortunately, while I'm not like too fascinated by this NBA bubble idea, I like the idea the NBA has of trying to contain everyone. We'll get to that in a little bit. But baseball, yeah. they're just letting everyone stay in their home city and throwing caution in the wind and letting them make all those choices. So unfortunately, that's going to happen. The empty stadiums, by the way. I don't know if you've seen any scrimmages so far. It's very the Red Sox are throwing their scrimmages on Twitter like in the middle of the day, just empty Fenway Park. It looks like I'm watching something from a post-apocalyptic era. Very surreal stuff going on in baseball right now.
I did see the other day a tweet from, I don't remember who it was, about how there was a game a couple of years ago in Baltimore.
Yeah, it was because the riots or whatnot, or the protests or something like that. They had no fans there. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
so it's, you know, I don't, as a baseball fan, like I'll sit on TV, I'll watch a game. No fans in the crowd. It's going to be weird, but I'll watch it. Yeah, it's okay.
I'll watch and I'll just tweet about how weird it is. That's what I'll be doing. So
we'll crow on it. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yes. All right. Let's hashtag always end with food again. We love to end every single podcast episode of The Course of Life with something food related. And like I mentioned, the NBA, they're trying this bubble thing out, but I'm going to implore everyone to go follow NBA Bubble Life on Twitter. It's just a fantastic amalgamation of all the social media posts from the players who are now in the Disney World bubble. And the big conversation is the bubble food inside Disney. Mm-hmm. Hashtag always end with food, brought to you by Saucy, promo code Course of Life. Get $5 off your first delivery. Beer, wine, liquor, they ship snacks to you in 13 cities. Promo code Course of Life, Saucy app or saucy.com. Have you seen any of these pictures yet of the bubble food? It's an interesting menu to say the least.
Just keep in mind, you're talking to the guy here who does not like the NBA.
Well, the food is just like it's very segmented. Like I've seen players take pictures of like what they get, and they just get like a piece of steak, like a small cup of green beans, a small cup of strawberries, a small cup of nuts, a small cup of raisins. It's just like, it's literally like a fourth grader just reached into every single pantry in their kitchen and just threw together a meal for these players. It's interesting, but I did see some Mickey Mouse shaped waffles. So that is a good consolation.
I was going to say, are they getting Disney themed, you know, waffles and ice cream treats? Are we getting the Mickey Mouse popsicles and, you know,
yep. I've seen a couple of those, but Mike, we, of course, with everything in sports and everything in life in 2020, we already have NBA bubble food controversy. The players are already getting takeout, shipped in from outside the bubble. And in fact, a couple players have already gotten caught. They stepped outside the line of the bubble to grab a takeout order that they ordered for their hotel room. And as a result, they had to go back into quarantine for 10 days and be taken away from all their team activity. So the price to pay for just a good steak getting sent to you takeout in the NBA bubble, it seems to be pretty big right now.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that the NBA is doing what they should do there, and
they're not messing around. You know,
yeah, that's cool for that. But I mean, come on, guys, Disney has good food.
They do.
I mean, they do have good food.
Can they open up all the countries or whatnot, so they can do the around the world tour? You know, that'd be a nice sampling.
Disney World is open. It's open right now. I don't know why you'd want to go to Disney World in the middle of a pandemic, but people are doing it.
Good stuff. So follow the NBA bubble food. We'll sure be tuning in for the next few weeks before they even play the games. We'll just see if that thing gets off the ground. But let's look at our world. Everything going on in golf, sports, and pop culture. Again, thanks to everyone for tuning in to the Course Life podcast. Very excited to be part of the Morning Read Network. Excited for next week's episode. We're going to have actor Ryan Rotman on the show, a movie star and a golfer in his own right. So get excited for that. For Michael, I'm Alex. We'll see you next week.